This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been 7 months since the Archbishop of Buenos Aires was chosen as the new leader of the Roman Catholic Church. Jorge Mario Bergoglio took the name Francis. Since then, the Argentinian pontiff has certainly caught the world's attention with his words on abortion and gay rights, with his clear attempts to reform the way the Vatican runs, the way we perceive the Pope, and the way the Catholic Church should connect with its people. We wondered what impact Pope Francis is having on Catholics in Michigan and how he's viewed by members of other religions. Today we'll hear from a Jesuit priest who teaches and ministers in the Detroit area and from a minister from the Protestant evangelical faith tradition. But first, we turn to someone who knows the Vatican well and has observed Pope Francis closely. David Willey is the Rome correspondent for the BBC, and he joins us now from Rome. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you.
As someone who has covered the Vatican, tell us what you have seen from Francis that is most personally striking to you.
Simply the fact that he talks like an ordinary person. We've become accustomed over many years, observers of the Vatican and what the Italians call Vaticanisti, there's a form of speech which I like to call Pope speak, which has very long sentences and long paragraphs and difficult words. And Pope Francis has changed the vocabulary of the Church, as it were, to express much more simple concepts and thoughts, and he's much less interested in doctrine and theology than in dealing with the problems of ordinary people. He has a lot of experience working in the slums of Buenos Aires, and he's a true pastor in a sense that I think previous popes, Benedict and John Paul, for example, were not. But it's certainly a great change in tone and style, if not in substance.
And I want to talk about that substance in a moment. But first, David, how do you see the public responding to this change in tone and style? As you're watching him interact, is there a difference in the way the public responds than the way they did to Pope Benedict or John Paul II?
Well, the easiest way to gauge that is simply the number of people who flocked to St. Peter's Square for his weekly general audience and his Sunday Angelus blessing. He's been attracting huge crowds. There's even a crowd control problem every week. You can't get anywhere near the Vatican on a Wednesday morning because of the numbers of people arriving to hear and see the Pope. He's immensely popular.
David, he certainly made worldwide headlines in his interviews with the comments that made clear that he has chosen not to spend much time talking about abortion and gay marriage and contraception. And then there was that headline-grabbing remark about gay people when he said, "Who am I to judge?" But how much do you think people should make of that comment and others like it?
Well, I think it's very important because he wants to, it seems to me, to take the Church out of a rut. It's got into a sort of a theological rut over some controversial issues of doctrine. And he says, well, look, wait a minute, let's put that on one side and let's deal with perhaps the basics of Christianity. Let's go back to basics. And I think people like that. They realize, I think, or most Catholics realize, that they don't want any major changes in doctrine. Mm-hmm. There are many difficult questions that Pope Francis has to answer, but he basically tries to stress a truly Christian attitude to one's fellow beings, to listen to them, to dialogue, certainly not to encourage any form of violence. Pope Francis is very conciliatory, and even in such a matter, for example, as relations with other Christian churches, he's gone out of his way to be accommodating and trying to stress what people have in common rather than what separates them.
We certainly saw a change for John Paul from that young, vibrant pope in 1978, skiing his way down a mountainside. And then as the years came, there seemed to be kind of a hardening. One wonders where Francis will be able to take the Church in his tenure as Pope.
Well, indeed, he's 76 years old already. He doesn't have a huge window of opportunity in front of him. He'll be 80 in 4 years' time. but he's seems pretty well and vigorous, and he has very clear ideas, I think, of what he wants to achieve in quite a short time. I think that he has inherited a Vatican which had become slightly sclerotic during the papacies of John Paul II, particularly his latter years, mm-hmm. when he was sick. He was really unable to attend to the daily governance of the church, and Pope Benedict wasn't really interested in church reform. He wanted to write his books. He's an academic, but it was quite clear that the new pope is a very different sort of person.
David Willey, the Rome correspondent for the BBC. David, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Been a pleasure.
There are now more than 2 million Roman Catholics in Michigan. That's about 20.5% of the population. How is Pope Francis impacting the way Michigan Catholics feel about their faith? And how is he being viewed by people of other faith traditions? Joining us for this conversation is Father Carl Kaiser. Like the Pope, he is a Jesuit priest. He received his Master's of Divinity from Boston College, and he's an educator who's the president of the University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy, located on Detroit's northwest side. And he also ministers to congregations at parishes within the Archdiocese of Detroit. He's joined by the Reverend Dr. Ural Hill. He earned his Master of Divinity degree from the Interdenominational Theological Center's Baptist School of Theology in Atlanta. He was ordained in 1992 at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. He's a preacher, psychologist, and a counselor. And among his many activities, he's pastor of Peace Baptist Church in Ann Arbor, also the president of HOTEP Christian Services. It's a nonprofit community mental health group that serves families in Metro Detroit. Father Carl Kaiser, I want to start with you. What has Pope Francis done so far that's made the biggest impression on you?
I think the biggest impression he's made on me personally is, honestly, his effect to Catholics and non-Catholics alike. I have had many of our alumni from our school say, I'm thinking about going back to church again, or we love Pope Francis, or isn't the Pope great? And a lot of non-Catholics, I like your Pope. I'm not really into all that, but I like your Pope. So he's made a huge impact among Catholics, sort of re-energizing them, I think, and for fallen away Catholics, giving them a reason to say, maybe I shouldn't be falling away anymore. And I think for non-Catholics, I think he's grabbed the popular imagination.
Reverend Hill, what about you? What has most impressed you about Francis?
Same thing. He really, I think, like someone like Dr. King, he came in and began to actively live out what his theology is. When he changed the dialogue to serving the poor, and he came in at a pivotal time where the eyes of the world were on Rome regarding the transition from a pope who left during his lifetime. So you had the eyes of the world on Rome, and here this guy comes in, the first Jesuit pope. He comes in non-traditionally, and he comes in and says, I'm not going to live in the papal residence. I'm going to live in the apartments. And he says the most important thing is focusing on the poor. He's not so much hard line, so people can relate to a person who says the most important thing aren't the don'ts of religion, but the do's.
How do you see this changing the Catholic Church as it exists in Michigan?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think the church has had some, obviously with the scandals and things, has had some rough times. And I think there's a lot of people who are questioning, you know, the church these last several, you know, decades even. And there's a lot of people in the church who are maybe walked away Catholics or who are a little bit more circumspect about the church. I think what Francis has done is he's re-energized and reinvigorated the church in the sense that people are saying, you know what, let me, this is why I'm a Catholic, or this is what I love about Catholicism. But I also think that one of the things he'll do for Michigan and is simply that if you look at the footprint of the Catholic Church in Michigan, you know, whether it's Catholic universities, the Catholic hospital system, Catholic high schools, Catholic grammar schools, nursing homes, you know, soup kitchens down in Detroit and in Grand Rapids and in Flint and social services across, I'm from the Upper Peninsula in my own diocese of Marquette, you know, the church has a big footprint, and the more vigorous that footprint is, the more we can serve the people that Jesus served, the poor and the needy, the marginal, the lepers of today. And so if the church is reinvigorated in Michigan, that bodes well for everyone here. You know, most people in Michigan are not Catholic. It bodes well for them because we'll continue to have vigorous institutions that serve the poor, that teach and educate, that teach people how to think, and that ultimately proclaim the gospel. So I see Francis's effect, as he brings people back to the church and reinvigorate it, as a really benefit for Michigan in terms of all the footprint of Catholicism in our state.
And Reverend Hill, from your Baptist perspective, do you see this leading to an increase in acceptance or a greater ecumenical spirit in our state?
As a matter of fact, yes. You know, I grew up Catholic. You know, I grew up in at Madonna Catholic Church and Christ the King, and served till I was 27. But my point is this, the same challenges, if you go through church history, we know that Catholic Church is the universal church, and it emanates through, you know, Peter and then on down. And then we have the Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther, and he was a Catholic priest who stepped out. And then you have the Anabaptists and the Baptists that form. As the Catholic Church goes, quote, universal, the church goes. The same challenges of all Christians are the same challenges of the church. Right now, we're in a crisis in terms of church attendance, not only in America, but also internationally. But he, Pope Francis, is such a refreshing transition for all Christians. At this, you know, at this juncture, this is a breath of fresh air to all, because the Pope represents hope. All right.
And what about other? What about, let's say, for people of the Jewish faith, for Muslims? Are we going to be able to see that kind of?
That's the real issue. His soft side, his communicative side, of, you know, he's even spoken to, you know, ecumenism, and then spoken to intra-faith dynamics with regard to good people. We need an example that's standing in front of us, that when we see our news soundbite all over the world at one time, bing, the Pope says, love your neighbor. Ah, the Pope is hugging people in the community.
He's not wearing the red Prada shoes.
That's right. That's
you know,
what we
you know, and that's what I'd like to say. You know, I think one of the things that you know, I obviously, if you're not Catholic, the Pope, whether we like it or not, is the most public figure of Christianity.
That's
so when he talks about very simple messages of Jesus, I think he probably reinvigorates all the faiths. I also think, you know, we talk about our Muslim brothers and sisters and our Jewish brothers and sisters, and of course, as a Catholic, our non-Catholic brothers and sisters. I think, you know, when we get back to the root of who Jesus is, and to just preach his gospel and have the style of Jesus, and, you know, tenderness and compassion, heal the wounded, warm people's souls, as the Holy Father has said, I think that gives us common language to talk about.
That was Father Carl Kaiser. I'm speaking with him about the perceptions and the actions of Pope Francis. Father Kaiser is a Jesuit priest who is the president of the University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy located in Detroit. And he's joined by the Reverend Dr. Ural Hill, who is the pastor of Peace Baptist Church in Ann Arbor. Well, in 2013, on many minds of people around the world, certainly here in Michigan, are issues such as women clergy in the Catholic Church, gay marriage making major headlines, contraception, abortion. Those issues are major. Do you envision any shift in church policy in any of these issues?
You know, I can't predict where that would go. What I would say, Pope Francis has already said that he wants women in the upper echelons of the church in the decision making abilities of the church. He's used a word, and I know that some of my friends have said, well, that might not be a good one, but the sensibility of women must be at the highest level of decision making in the church. So I know that, you know, whether the ordination question, you know, I don't know, and I would be unable to speak to that. But Francis clearly says what's missing in our leadership is what women bring to the table. So I know that's there. I can't imagine the church would ever change on abortion, because the Catholic Church, anyway, our whole social teaching is based on the dignity and respect of every human life. I don't think that would change. I think what's going to change is everybody knows what the church thinks about abortion. I always say the Hindu family in the outback of India probably knows what the Catholic Church teaches, but Pope Francis is saying, everybody knows that. We need love. So I think what the focus and style or the change, the shift in where he approaches people is going to give us a better way to think through those issues. But I think that the change of focus is going to help us think through those issues in a profoundly Christian way, in a profoundly spiritual way, and maybe in a way that opens people's eyes to things. I think Francis is saying, let's start with the person in front of us. Win them over, as Ignatius would say, go in their door and come on ours, and then they're going to want to listen to why the church holds the teachings that it teaches, because the church has fed them, ministered to them, healed their wounds, helped them to find God, helped them to get through their struggles, if that makes sense.
One thing I do want to bring up is the clear fact that not everyone is happy with all of this, and all you have to do is look at blogs and websites after Francis makes some statement to realize how much all of this is really rattling many conservative Catholics. So is it possible for Francis to take the church in what appears to be fresh directions without alienating the right?
I think that the people, the more traditional elements in the church, I think are nervous, because what they want to hear is the church proclaim the truth that we have handed on from us from the apostles. You know, right now we've had two papacies where we've been very clear. No, there's not a lot of questions about what the church teaches and why. Now I think it's shifting. I think people who are more traditional are thinking, oh, we're afraid of this because it's new. But I think at the end of the day, we need both of these charisms in the church, the sort of the institution that holds on to this precious tradition of Jesus Christ, and the charismatic sort of spiritual move that hits people's souls and brings them back. But it's a tension that has to exist in the church. We can't go all one way, because we lose the core of who we are, the very beautiful things that the apostles left behind, those early church writings. They told, you know, we can't change that.
We opened with Father Kaiser. We're going to leave the last comments to Reverend Dr. Ural Hill.
Sure. This time is a very pivotal and powerful time in the history of mankind, and it's powerful for us to be here. We have our first black president in the United States history, a two-term president. America is changing. And as America changes, you know, the church really can be a leader in creating ways in which we can get along at a powerful time. That's the one thing that Pope Francis brings to the table.
Reverend Dr. Ural Hill and Father Carl Kaiser, thanks to both of you for talking with us today on Stateside.
All right. God
bless. Thank you so much, Cindy.